Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the miraculously, fabulously, intricately woven web of the internet with AmericanFreedomRadio.com, spitting out all that nice silky goodness into your eardrum cavities. I'm broadcasting live today from my very special island chained nation paradise of New Zealand that's fluoridated, Fukushima irradiated, and is under the control of a man named John Effing Key. Effing is his given middle name. Changed it from Danger. Who used to work for the Federal Reserve and is now in charge of this country and its money supply after he made a whole lot of money off of it back in the day when he was working as Merrill Lynch's representative for derivatives trading on Wall Street. So naturally, he comes out of absolutely nowhere and becomes Prime Minister of this country. My very special guest today is L.B. Bork from PacAlliance.us. But before I go to him, I just wanted to give a few announcements. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Last night, I was watching this documentary. I knew it would be a propaganda documentary or whatever. Is it? What if the sea levels rose? And, you know, it's great. No science, no statistical displays, not so much as a single graph appeared during the entire one-hour documentary. Instead, it was simply digital, right? So here's the United States with its current ocean line, and here's it with a 250-foot rise, and here's it with a 6-foot rise, and here's it with a... It's like just making stuff up. What if it was 6 feet higher? What if it was 50 feet higher? What if it was 250 feet higher? What if it was 1,000? Come on. It's just ridiculous. I'm really, really sick of people. And this is another thing about the climate change lobby. climate change lobby makes them sound like the pro-gun lobby. Anyway, it was the dramatic music that really got me. It was kind of a cross between the Hills Have Eyes soundtrack with The Exorcist, you know? What if the sea levels rose 6 feet? Da, da, da! Be afraid, be very afraid. And, of course, at the very end of the documentary, you know what'll be really good? If we have a loving world government to tackle this climate change thing issue. So it's like, yep, that's what you're building up to the whole thing, wasn't it? Mm. Don't you hate that? Anyway, I'm sorry, that's completely off topic, isn't it? And I probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway, let's go to my very special guest, L.B. Bork from PacAlliance.us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Vinny. How are you?
Somewhat fabulous, but also stressing out about a few friends of mine who are having a little bit of difficulties in their lives.
Everyone is today.
No. Mm-hmm. You betcha.
Yeah, I've been in this 20 years, and it's worse than I thought it was going to be, economy-wise.
Well, I don't know. In life, I've found that's the general rule. Everything's worse than you thought it would be.
Yeah. Sometimes things go good.
Yeah,
but
they do go good.
People.
They do go good sometimes, but not anywhere near as good as you hoped they'd be.
I suppose.
Right. Well, let's talk
ups
about
ups and downs, ins and outs, right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Pack Alliance and who you are and what you do then, if you would kindly elaborate.
It's a sad story. As I said a minute ago, I've been in this 20 years. I got into it based on wanting to know what Second Amendment rights were back in the day. And, of course, the language of the Second Amendment and the United States Constitution seemed pretty common or, you know, easy to understand. But getting into law, I found out it wasn't, because things have drastically changed since that time. The Second Amendment's not as it appears in the Constitution. It's been changed quite a bit. But, yeah, that was my original interest back then. And soon after I got into the movement, Waco happened. I don't know if you have looked into that. I'm probably sure you have if you're in the movement. No matter when you got into it, that was a pretty much a benchmark for tyranny here in the United States. In recent times, anyway. Of course, there's been times past, but as everyone comes into the world, everyone has their own little, episode that they have to deal with. I was around when Kennedy was assassinated back in 1963, but I was only like 4 years old, I believe, at the time. So I really didn't know what was going on with that. But, mentioning that, that was the turning point for the United States as far as the last chapter and the New World Order and them really taking over putting the last chapter in place. And it's been going on for some time. People, I'm sure you're aware of that. I'm sure you've explored all that.
I was talking to with a few friends about this, and we had this discussion about what is the New World Order, who are they, and when have they been in control. And I was just like, well, you know what? I think it's the guys who wound up killing Kennedy, covering it up. They've been the ones in control ever since.
Well, for the states, or, you know, it's worldwide, and that's why I was pretty pleasantly surprised that you are from New Zealand. I thought you just moved over there. It seems like you're catering to an American audience a little bit, possibly, or is it worldwide?
It really is worldwide. I don't know about you, but when you're fighting a new world order, there's no country exempt, you know?
Oh, definitely. That's why I was happy to hear you're from New Zealand on two counts. One, I don't really appreciate people, you know, leaving the United States because they're bailing. So I'm glad you are from New Zealand. And the second point is, yeah, it is worldwide, and we need to all work together on this. And if we don't, we're done, you know. So,
yeah, I'm particularly concerned for the people of the United States and its government, because if America falls, if they take all their guns and pull it into a full-on hot police state, there really isn't any other superpower that can actually rise up against the global controllers, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people, and it's nice to hear it right from the, no offense, horse's mouth, because I have heard rumors of that there's a lot of people in other countries that are depending on us to pull things out of the dumper, so to speak. So,
yeah. I'm not depending at all. I'm simply supporting, because that's what I want to see happen.
Right. Of course not. And I'm, like I said, I got into law, and I think that's where everyone should be at, because that's their Achilles heel. And they don't want us to know that, and a lot of people just ignore it totally. They can be taken aside and dealt with the law, but it's unfortunate. A lot of people have, you know, pruned that from their mind because they don't want us knowing it, and it really is their Achilles heel. So that's what I've concentrated on for 20 years. And I've seen it work. It's getting worse every day in America here, because there are so many people that have been misguided and do wrong things. And unfortunately, they're blazing the trail and leaving a mess for the people that are trying to do it right, because it leaves a bad taste in the government's mouth. I don't know. They've gotten away with too much for so long in the court systems, and there's the adversary, the hidden adversary that lurks in the background that's, trying to keep the truth from the people in government also, which is truly unfortunate because you mix that, disinformation or evilness with the inherent greed factor of most people. It's a recipe for disaster or failure. So the only thing we have right now is getting people rounded up and working together. And that's what the PAC Alliance is about. It started People's Awareness Coalition back in 1998, and it was cutting edge back then. There wasn't too much out there. There was a lot of cleaning up to do in the movement. And it's some of the same things that I've seen, for 20 years, and I've talked to people that have been in this movement longer than that. It's still floating around out there, and it's bad information, and people need to put it aside if we're to get anywhere. So anyway, the PAC Alliance deals with trying to round people up and get them to working together, be they on chemtrails or prepping, organic farming, whatever it may be, just trying to round everyone up and work as a team.
Speaking of chemtrails, this new movie with Denzel Washington that's coming out called Flight? You ever heard of this?
Is it out already?
I think it's coming. It's coming out here tomorrow, I think. And the advertisement for it is Flight, and it's got a massive plane laying a massive chemtrail.
Really?
And that's the first time I've ever seen it like that in your face before on any kind of mainstream platform. So I'm definitely going to go see it just to see if you actually have a chemtrail kind of a commentary in it. But
I don't know if they're flaunting it. The thing I like to use is called tacit flaunting. It's kind of a unspoken or silent flaunting they do with different things. But I don't think the chemtrails come out of commercial airliners. So I don't know if that's disinformation, so to speak, or just flaunting.
Well, we've had a couple of different instances here where we've had a chemtrail laid over the city. And we recognize the tail of the aircraft, like having that red Qantas tail. But then we look up on the flight tracker system that you can get on the internet here, just to see what flights are going where and everything. They're not there. And apparently, you can, if you're an operator, you can request that your aircraft don't get tracked on those international tracking sites. Mm-hmm. So whatever's going on. And here's the point about it. We just don't know.
Right.
Don't know who's doing it. We don't know how they're doing it.
That's the part. The sad part is if we were to work together on these things, I think we could get it done. But everyone's just kind of, like I say, hi. I don't know if you have basements over New Zealand, but they're hiding in the corner of their house or in their basement, not working together and attacking these things. And really, they're easy to deal with because, everyone's afraid of the government and they shouldn't be. And that's the problem. Fear is their number one tool or weapon they use against people. And ignorance, of course, goes along with that. And fear comes from ignorance.
Now, traditionally, if we're looking for unity and to strike at an enemy, we'd be talking about leadership. I mean, somebody made the point, Vinny, think about what you're saying, Unity traditionally comes through leadership. And I said, well, okay, if you don't believe that, name me a revolution or a entity or anything like that that accomplished anything without any leadership and without any organization.
So you're saying it hasn't happened without leadership?
Well, I've not seen it happen. I'd like to see some examples of it. But what happens is, I think it's either somebody rises up and just goes, "Hey, you know what? This doesn't make any sense. Everybody, look at this," and then everybody starts looking at it, unites behind them, and then straight on through. Usually, groups of leaders come together with similar principles, put aside their differences, and they have several followers each or whatever, and they come and accomplish it. What I don't like is dictatorship. What I don't like is arrogant leadership. What I don't like is people with a sense of entitlement.
Correct. And some people think I have that, but At a point, but I don't want to be a leader. I just want people doing the right things. And I, you know, what we're about is teaching people to be self-governing. And we're, you know, I'm not trying to be another leader per se, because I don't want children. You know, this is all about being, you know, independent. And I think that's what people want, but they don't know it or don't know how to go about it. So we're just here to help people, you know, get on a different path or, you know, change their paradigms. So I get upset at people because, like I was saying a few minutes ago, there's so much bad information out there that it has to be pruned out of the network to get somewhere, because it just gets people in trouble. You know, I've predicted a lot of people are going to go down, and they have. They've gone to prison. And, you know, it's sad to see that happen, because no, they're not listening. So.
Yeah, well, I think those are natural consequences of just not listening.
Well, yes. That's the problem.
Then they provide examples for others of what not to do, which is actually quite valuable when you think about it.
Sure. And I've tried to do that. I don't know how much time you spent on the PAC website. There's a few of them that I gave you last week. But, yeah, there's quite a bit of information to go through. And it takes people a couple years to really study everything, not including the book, The Red Amendment, which I had written about 12 years ago now. And it's in its fourth edition at this time. Just came out with a 2012 edition about a month or so ago.
Well, we're coming up to break in about 40 seconds. When we come back from it, I'd really like you to talk about the Red Amendment book and where people can get a copy, that kind of thing. And also, I'd like to quickly just plug the website. It's pacalliance.us, ladies and gentlemen, pacalliance.us. Kind of like the Rebel Alliance in a way. And I like the idea that you don't want to be a leader and you'd rather people be self-governing. And that strikes me as kind of the ultimate in teachers, is that they teach people that they don't need any more teachers. You know, right. teach yourself, you know, make yourself obsolete. At least that's what I really want to do as well.
Oh, I want to get back to a life, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to be responsible for all you listeners anymore, okay? I want you to know what the heck you're talking about, so I don't have to anymore. I can go back and like eat bonbons and sip tequila or something like that on my spare time. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with LB Bork from pacalliance.us.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. Can't do this all on my own. No, I know.
Welcome back,
Superman.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm no Superman, but laser beams do shoot out of my eyes if I see David Rockefeller. My very special guest is LB Bork from pacalliance.us, and we were having an interesting discussion over the break about law. And incidentally, day before yesterday, I had this meeting with a guy who's getting into the free man movement and legalese and all of that kind of stuff, and he asked me, do you know about the law? And I unequivocally answered him, absolutely not. Not meaning I don't know nothing about it. I know more than most people, but my point is, it's not possible to know all of it because there's just too much of it, and it's all BS.
I can agree with that.
So it's not
to a point.
Yeah.
We were chatting with an anarchist today on one of our Facebook groups, and I'm not an anarchist. There has to be some law, but as I said over the break to you, I respect it. It's like, you know, a bear. You don't go up and punch it in the face and expect not to get bit or, you know, killed. So you have to understand what law is about and respect it to a point. That's not saying I agree with it, because they do use it against us in our ignorance. They prey on us that way. And that's the problem with it. And it's got to be there to a point, but at a very minimalistic sense. And you mentioned that we were talking about police officers and how they've gone from serve and protect to harass and collect. I came up with that one quite a long time ago. It's something they use in America, serve and protect.
Actually, it's the other way around. It's protect and serve that they've got on the side of the police cars.
The other way around, though. So,
I saw this movie Transformers, and instead of to protect and serve, they've got and one of the Transformers is a cop car, and it says to punish and enslave. And I was like,
are they doing this to mind control everyone, or get them to buy into it, or is it? They flaunting or, you know, are telling us what's going to happen. I don't know. Mm. I think there's a lot of conditioning that goes on in movies.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of shampooing, too.
Yeah.
Of your brain.
It is.
Massage away all the independence out of it.
Yeah, it's all sad. And, it's gone bad the last 20 years for sure since I've been in this.
When did you start? Like, you started exactly 20 years ago. Like, do you remember the exact date and what it was that just kind of made you sit bolt upright in bed and was like, oh my God, I'm starting the Pack Alliance today?
No, that was 14 years ago I started Pack Alliance. But no, I got into this whatever you call movement. I try not to use that word. It's more like a constipation because it's not really going anywhere. I feel that's why I started the PAC Alliance about 3 years ago. PAC stands for People's Awareness Coalition. That's 14 years old. But the Alliance is something new. As I discussed last segment, that we're trying to get people working together of different ideologies and things. But I said at the top of the show, I was interested in Second Amendment rights, which is, rights of gun ownership in America. The American Constitution. So I started looking into those issues, and it just kind of branched out into different things. And like I said, Waco happened, and that just totally got me involved. I was even listening to Rush Limbaugh back 20 years ago. My ex-wife bought me his book, and I soon, about after 6 months or so, I figured he wasn't telling the truth to anyone. So I weaned off him and went deeper into issues. So, but then I started learning about the New World Order from Jack McClam. He had the Operation Vampire Killer 2000 out. I was introduced to that, and I was, pretty scared, being a ignorant American or in the, sheep or whatever you want to say 20 years ago, and then getting introduced to all this evil that's going on in the world was pretty much a wake-up call. But after I started learning law, which, took about 8 years to get to the point where I wrote my book, The Red Amendment, I started getting less scared. So, because like I said, ignorance breeds fear. So after I started knowing what they're all about and knowing how to handle things, it was a lot easier to swallow what was going on. And I've had students say that too, that since they started learning things that we recommend that people start looking into, they get they're less fearful and have more, I guess you would say, they have. I don't want to say it. They have hope for tomorrow instead of being all depressed about everything. So that's a good point of what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah. I think of some people in this quote-unquote movement or stagnant I mean, it's not really a movement. It's more of an amendment, you know, something that's attempting to sort of curtail the things in the way things are going, really, which is just basically, at the end of the day, straight up tyranny. Of some kind of a satanic globalist fashion, as far as my research has led me to believe. And what's the opposite to Satanism? Seems to be Christianity. And sure. what's the difference? What's the opposite of tyranny? It's freedom. Okay. Well, in that case, if you embody a bunch of Christian principles and then you just want to be free and not be a frickin' slave, you've come almost all the way that you really need to in order to oppose such a system.
Right. And to fight it, you have to know who you are. And there's people all over the world doing that I'm aware of. It's a guy named John Wilson, I think. He's from Australia that I've run into quite a bit on the internet, but we've never talked. It seems like, you know, like we were talking about, egos clashing a little bit here and there. But I try, you know, if people think I've got a big ego, and it's because of, I know what they're generally saying is wrong, and I come across as arrogant, but really I'm pretty much down to earth with people. If they come across as not being arrogant themselves, you know, I'll treat them right, you know. And well, you know, I have to apologize. I was pretty rude to you the other night. I was in one of my bad moods dealing with the American mentality over here that day, so. I apologize for being a bit abrupt the other night when we chatted.
Well, I think when you're talking about being literal and talking about reality, it's very hard to come across real positive and bubbly.
Oh, it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, the thing that gets me is most people like to talk. I had a radio show for several years that was comp to me before the internet really started to blossom. Of course, it was on the internet, and I just got tired of talking because people just want to listen. They don't want to do anything. So I'm looking for people to get activated here and start doing things. So you can talk until the cows come home, but unless you do something, nothing's going to get done. You know.
Now, you're talking about very specific things in your book, The Red Amendment. What could you lay out a few examples of what people can do in order to free themselves or free America or free the world, you know?
Yeah, well, what you just mentioned is the tyranny that's going on in the world, and there is a definite plan. I know when we talked during the break, you're still pretty young, and you've noticed a change in the police in your few years on Earth, and it's gotten way worse, and it's because there is a plan of tyranny. And what I've surmised through research and observing what they do. And we'll get to the Red Amendment and what it's about here. But it goes back basically to the Rothschilds back in the Egyptian times and the Pharaoh system that was established way back when. And they're still in power. And basically they've gone underground and created this system. And it's all a network of an octopus of, you know, tentacles that reach all over and grasp different things in history. And basically what they've done is established the Roman Empire worldwide. And through study of law, I don't know how many people know that Rome used to be a republic before it turned into an empire. Well, basically what they've done is reestablish the empire through the United States. The British Empire still did exist. When they started their company over here called the United States of America. But even people like Thomas Jefferson was not aware of what the Jesuit order was doing through the Vatican at the time. And they were establishing Roman civil law, and they had their authors and I guess you'd call the minions established the systems, and you know, the founding fathers didn't even know what was going on because, you know, they came over from England and they were British subjects, most of them. And the Jesuits snuck in the Roman system of law here, and basically they've just rebirthed the Roman Empire through the United States, and of course the British Empire is all tied to it also. But it's pretty heavy-duty stuff. People don't want to believe it and understand it, but it's there. And basically what they've done is give corporate power via the 14th Amendment, which my book's about, the 14th Amendment, the Constitution. I don't know if you've noticed over New Zealand, but there's a lot of Lincoln talk and Civil War talk. Even Obama relates himself to being, you know, like Lincoln, or, the, you know, taking things as far as Lincoln did for a modern-day president.
Well, if he institutes a non-debt-backed currency like the greenback, then I wouldn't be too bad against it. But I don't think he's going to do that.
No, I don't know. They're not in control of the money system anyway. And I recently read something that Lincoln was, there's some falsity to the greenback system and what it was about. But Lincoln was working for the world bankers, is what I'm finding out. My research does not really entail the depths of Lincoln. And, I, you know, when I wrote my book, it was strictly based on, you know, surrounding circumstances, based on law and how they instituted the Constitution and, you know, changed things with the Civil War, which basically put the United States Republic into, you know, an empire mode, similar to the what they did with the Roman Empire. And when they did that, the corporations got extreme power. That's how they ruled over, you know, many of the provinces and things that the Roman Empire absorbed. But, the, you know, they did the same thing here in the United States, and it's being done worldwide. As hey, you well know, the United States military is all over the place in the world.
Hey, it's even being done in a galaxy far, far away. Have you seen the third installment of the Star Wars movies, where he talks about reorganizing the Republic into the first galactic empire for our safety and security? And it's like, holy cow, did this guy get... Is this guy a scriptwriter for Obama or something?
No, no, it's the New World Order. It's all what I call tacit flaunting. There's parallels there. It's talking about New World Order. Of course, they're talking about galaxies, but they haven't done that yet. So it's a whimsical look at what they've done with the world. And, you know, and same with Matrix. There's deprogrammed.us, one of our other websites, that was put up about a year, less than a year after The Matrix came out. When I saw that movie, my mouth dropped to the floor because I knew what was being said in it. Most people just think they're watching a movie, but they're really telling, you know, people how they've enslaved everyone. But there's a lot of reverse, you know, messages in that. You know, people, the Matrix all looks beautiful to the people. Of course, you know, everyone in the Matrix in real life thinks it's beautiful, but it's really not. But they made the freedom, the people that were free out of the Matrix, they made that look all ugly and dark, which it's really not. So there's some reverse psychology going on there in that movie. But it's interesting to, you know, to, it would be one of my things is to get people together that could investigate all the where the money comes from for these movies and how the scripts are written, who is involved, and you can really find out, you know, how much they do know and if they are flaunting or trying to wake people up. My opinion of the Matrix, it was the adversary, as I like to refer to them as, that put that together. Yeah. And again, they're flaunting, they're bragging, they're kind of giving you disclosure, which is a law term. They're telling you what they're doing, but they're also bragging that they're doing it to you and kind of flaunting it in front of you.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what narcissists and psychopaths really do. They love to just wave it in front of you. I can do this, and you can't do anything about it.
Right. Exactly.
We're coming to break now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back.
The way it's going to go.
Welcome back, everybody. You are now listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest is LB Bork from PacAlliance.us. He's the author of The Red Amendment, and we were talking over the break about... Oh, frack, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, how he's twiddling around on computers all the time, and so am I, and we're both kind of sick of it. How this is you know, your work life, and it's all based at home, and it's just want to go out and get a life, you know. We don't want to be working for Uncle Scam. We don't want to be propping up the false economy like Weekend at Bernanke's. We just want to live, and the problem is we've got these impediments in our ways. It's called tyrannical scumbaggery that must be overthrown before we can even really live and be free. That's the real problem here, I find. So you don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice.
How I know that I'm a slave, because I don't have a choice.
When I got in this 20 years ago, I knew that I had to do this, and that's why I've stuck so long at, you know, I've been at it so long, is because I knew I couldn't be free unless others were free. You know, there's a lot of people that think they're so-called sovereigns or free men, but they're really still not, even though, you know, I've been out of the system for 20 years and really been totally uninvolved in it in 14, since I knew the truth about law. It took me a few years to find out what mistakes other people were making or what things they were flawed in and their, you know, positions in law. But you're still surrounded by people that are taking you down. It's like, you know, they say, I did some research on it, it's not always true, but if you jump off a ship and it's going down, you can get sucked down by the undertow, what happens when the ship finally goes down from the air that's trapped in it. But yeah, so we're going to go down with it. So I knew I couldn't have a business and not be on the hamster wheel, like, you know, giving all the money to the government unless this was fixed. So that's why I've stuck at it so long. And it just gets me upset that people won't jump on board here and try to do something about it. And just talking about it's not going to get it done. And unity is the death knell to us. A lack of unity, I should say. So it's of prime importance that people start thinking about that, putting differences aside and start working together.
Yeah, that's what I've said for a long time, LB, is it's on the points that we agree, we should come together and collaborate. Because on the points that we can disagree, we could argue about them ad infinitum. And so I think we can leave those for another time. Preferably a time when the people who do want to physically enslave and or exterminate us are defeated.
Right. You know, the only way they're going to be defeated is with their own game. That's the way I look at it. And not, they've created all the wars in the United States, for example. And there's a lot of people, I was talking to someone out in Idaho here in the States this afternoon. And they said, she said, you know, everyone's buying guns, and I go, well, that's all fine and good, but they've started all the wars here. The adversary did. Everything was orchestrated, and it's going to go the same way. All it does is cause dead people and chaos. You know, so that's really the wrong way to go. And but everyone's got their mindset on that, and it's just sad. You know, I'm not saying the guns should go away. As you said at the top of the hour, we got we're the last bastion of hope for the world in that regard, and I think it's true to a point. But we got to try to do this peacefully, because they want people gone. I think you've heard about the population reduction that the New World Orderists want. So that would fall right into their you know, their trap or their plans. And plus, Albert Pike, one of the Master Masons, who is honored in Washington, D.C., but works for the Confederate Army on their side. He was a double agent, in other words. said, you know, when he wrote Morals and Dogma, he's a master mason. He said there's going to be three world wars, using that language. Well, we've already been through two of them. So they've got a third one planned out, and we got to stop it somehow. And, you know, Jack McLaren, like I said, he's trying to wake up the police and the military people to keep that from happening. But, you know, unfortunately, no one seems to have principles. They rather have the paycheck. There's no sacrifice. And, you know, unfortunately, that's seems like most people go for the paycheck.
Well, you know, I think there's an old quote, something about patriotism, and when a patriot first strikes out to do the right thing for himself or his people or his country, he gets demonized and attacked and gets his assets stripped off right. him or whatever, or locked in jail. And only once his ideas and his actions have actually proved successful in the place and the country's going in a much better direction, do people then jump on the bandwagon, right. because then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Right, that's Samuel Clemens, or Mark Twain, as he's known as, said that, supposedly.
Allegedly.
I got stuck with a Thomas Jefferson quote that was false. I had to go through a bunch of documents to change it last week or a couple weeks ago. So you got to be careful with the internet, because there's so much bad information out there.
Yeah. See, and I always say that don't act on anything unless you feel to yourself that it's right. You know, am I doing the right thing? Is this right? You know, and I've gotten to the point now, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, that I really don't actually know anything, because everything that I've thought I've known throughout my entire life has been proved wrong at some point.
Yeah, it can be. There's things I could say that are too mind-blowing to even think about, so I won't go there. But it's just, I will say that it's amazing we're even here on Earth. You know, people should cherish that and love each other. I have to say that, because that's what we're lacking.
Mm.
You know,
what John Lennon said. Themselves.
Yeah, John Lennon was one of their puppets, though, unfortunately.
Why did they shoot him?
I don't know. I haven't investigated that, but if you listen to, what song did I just post a couple weeks ago? It's Total Marxist, and that is their blueprint. That's another thing the Red Amendment, my book's about. It's Marxism is the blueprint for fascism, and a lot of people think Marx was a good guy. He wasn't. You know, all these people that are pushing the Marxist agenda are just pushing the blueprint for the world fascism, which is basically what they're going to eventually do. And it's written in the UN, minutes, or what they want to achieve is getting rid of constitutions of all countries, which limits the government powers. And they're going to go under corporations are going to rule everything. And that's what the 14th Amendment did in America. It gave corporations power, but they're still... they still have to do away with the constitutions to get ultimate power. And it is totalitarian dictatorships is what they're shooting for. So it's not going to be a benevolent dictatorship in the country. So people have to start learning law to thwart all this, to take care of it. And unfortunately, like I said, along with the military and police people, you know, everyone's after the paycheck, so it's not going to get done with people making paychecks, you know, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. It's going to have to be by the people, you know, you and I taking it back.
Yeah. I don't think I've got any illusions now about political ideology or the savior mentality. Nobody's going to save me. I have to save myself. No political ideology is 100% correct, because humans are inherently flawed, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why politics was really created, to kind of put people in these different flawed camps, you know? Really.
Well, that's it. So that's the whole political scheme in America. It's just Republican, Democrat, and that's it's one party, controlled.
Did not the Founding Fathers warn against the formation of political parties?
Yes, there was some, there was some talk about that. And one of the things I learned from were the Federalist Papers, which are just a blueprint for tyranny, but it does teach you a lot about what they thought. And they were Federalist, which is basically federal government compared to national government. And that's what people fail to understand, that America is comprised of many countries. You know, it's not one country, it's not one nation. That's all political newspeak under Marxism and the original constitutional system. Even they talked this way as Federalist. You know, it was newspeak, as Orson, or was it Orson Welles? No, George Orwell spoke of in his book 1984. But you know, of course, he was just talking about what was good, what was planned in 1984. It's another one of those guys that maybe knew something, or maybe was one of them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, apparently he was in with the in crowd of England, of all the eugenicists, like what was his name, Aldous Huxley, they were all part of the in crowd of eugenicists who sort of knew what the plan was, and they were trying to warn people about what the blueprint was. And what I find interesting about 1984, it was the year that I was born, and I think to myself, you know, there's got to be some kind of deeper meaning for that. I love it. Anyway, LB Book from PacAlliance.us, thank you so much for your time today, sir. It's been pleasurable.
In a non-sexual way. Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll see you again sometime. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after the break with a new guest.